Welcome to the Compass Podcast, featuring Chris Chandro and the Compass team. We hope this message is just for you.
Well, if I haven't met you yet, I'm Chris. I'm the lead pastor of this circus. Thanks for joining us today. How many of you guys watched the Emmy Awards last week? Anybody? Yeah, because everyone was watching football, right? That's right. Well, in case you missed it, which you did, the Emmys were on last week. And if you ever watch like any of those awards shows, like the Emmys, the Grammys, the Oscars, any of that stuff, like I think the best part for everyone is not the 3-hour awards show, but it's that red carpet experience before, right? Where you see all the celebrities just traipsing out and showing off like their fancy dresses and like the $1 billion of jewels that they are wearing that somebody loaned them. And you just see all the just the glamour and the glitz of Hollywood. And I know when I watch that stuff, I have this just feeling inside where I'm just thinking, man, they have everything. I mean, these people have a perfect life. I mean, they have perfect face, perfect body, perfect hair, perfect bank account. I mean, just all of those perfect things, right? But here's what I want to do. I want to show you guys. Actually, let's play a little game. I want to play a little game called Guess the Celebrity Quote. So I'm going to put a quote up and I'm going to have you guys just shout it out. We just got 6 of these. I want you to shout out and guess who said this thing. So the first one is this. This celebrity says, I wear big earrings because I don't like my ears. Vince Vaughn. Okay, who said that? Go ahead, guys, bring that up, picture. Beyonce. Miss B, really? So I thought she was like perfect. Okay, how about this one? I feel like an overweight, pimply-faced kid a lot of the time. Adam Sandler. Okay, that makes sense. Who's this one? Ryan Reynolds. He actually followed my workout routine for most of his stuff. He was like, Chris, I want your abs. It's weird. I don't know. How about this one? I say to myself, I don't know how to act. And why does anybody want to look at me on screen anymore? Who do you think that is? Matt Damon? Well, that's mean, whoever said that. I feel like you're hoping it's Matt Damon. Okay, who said that? Meryl Streep, Academy Award winning actress Meryl Streep says, I don't know how to act. That's what she tells herself. How about this one? I have days where I feel like the ugliest person on the planet. Now, be nice. Who said that? Jack Black. All right, who said that? Alexander Skarsgård. Lesser known. Still a typical hottie, I would guess. How about this one? I'm very confident in how I project my personality, but in terms of how I look, I'm completely hysterically insecure. I'm self-loathing, introverted, and neurotic. Who? Dwayne Jones. Okay. Who said that? Megan Fox. It's interesting. Like a lot of these faces we're seeing up here are people who we think are, oh, this is a person who's really attractive. I mean, this dude's a stud. This chick is gorgeous. This one's an amazing actress, and yet somehow they see in themselves something that's not there. How about this last one? I'm so insecure lately. Seriously, just with my weight, I can't leave the house without Spanx. Right? I had a really bad pregnancy, and I gained a lot of weight, and I didn't feel good about myself. I felt probably the lowest that I've ever felt in my life. Kim Kardashian. Who is that? That was it. That was Kim Kardashian. Now, how shocking are some of these, right? Because you hear these words that people are saying, and you're like, that's got to be someone in Hollywood who, like, you see their movie, and you're like, that dude scraped by, right? He knows somebody, and that's how he got this part. You would never in a million years think that some of the beautiful, talented, I mean, cover girl people who are up here have said these things about themselves. But the reality is that this thing called insecurity affects everyone. Insecurity impacts every single one of us. And as you can tell by the celebrities we just looked at the screen, it doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter how good looking the other people think you are. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how much talent you have. It doesn't matter who you're married to or what kind of house you live in. Insecurity hits all of us. Now, it hits all of us in different ways, though. For some people, our insecurities can just be crippling. Some of us have insecurities that are so big and so heavy that like it totally impacts how we live and how we interact with other people in the world. And some of us have insecurities, maybe they're just so small and so hidden in our lives that we're not even aware of how it affects our relationships and how we act. But we all deal with insecurity at some point. And so today, as we continue our reality series, we're going to talk about insecurity. And if we're going to talk about it, we really need to start at the beginning. So what is insecurity? Where does it come from? I mean, where does insecurity start in our lives? And interestingly enough, insecurity, it starts with a blank. Okay, so check this out. I'm going to put a phrase up on the screen here. And it says this: you're not blank enough. Insecurity starts in the space between you're not and enough. You are not blank enough. Maybe it's something somebody said to you one time. Maybe it's something a teacher said to you at school. Man, you're just not smart enough. You're not good enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not talented enough. Maybe it's something a parent said to you one time. You'll never amount to anything because you are not blank enough. Even now, as we're talking about insecurities, some of you guys are filling in the blank right now with things that people have said about you, things that you've heard about yourself. But it actually gets a little bit worse, because insecurity is not just the blank in you're not blank enough. It's also the blank in I'm not blank enough. Because sometimes our insecurities, they don't start with other people. Sometimes our insecurities start within ourselves, right? And so it's not something that somebody else said to me. It's something that I keep saying to myself. I'm not smart enough. I'm not talented enough. I'm not popular enough. I'm not able enough. I'm not good enough. And there's something, maybe someone has said, maybe it's something that you tell yourself, but insecurity always starts in that blank space in our lives, and it grows and it takes root and it lodges itself into everything that we think about ourselves, into everything that we say, and everything that we see about who we are. And so today I want to tackle the issue of insecurity head on. I want to talk about what is it that God wants to say to us about insecurities. And as I do that, I want all of us to just think right now, just what is yours? What is your blank? What is the blank in your life, the insecurity that you think about yourself? How do you fill in the blank in that empty space? And as you have that in your mind, I want you to hold that there as we continue talking about what God has for us, what God wants to say to us about the way that we fill in those blanks, and maybe his plan for how he would want to fill in those blanks in our lives. Now, check this out. When it comes to filling in the blanks individually for ourselves, we do this. We spend a lot of time and energy doing it ourselves. We try to find things that will wipe that blank out so that we can be okay and feel good about ourselves. We spend a lot of money trying to fill in the blanks. I mean, for some of us, we fill in that blank by spending cash. If I just have the nicest clothes, if I got a nice car, if I got nice things, toys, a house, if I got all the best stuff, then I will feel the way that people who look like they have all these good things feel, because they must feel good about themselves, and I want to feel like they do. So what do? We spend a lot of cash money on trying to make things look good, and if I look good, then I'll feel good, and all of a sudden my insecurities won't matter anymore. We also try to fill in the blank. Some of us do this. Some of us are the life of the party, right? You're so insecure about something that's inside of you, or insecure about yourself, that when you go into a party, you're like, okay, I'm just going to go in and I'm going to be the one who's cracking all the jokes. I'm going to be the one who's making everybody laugh. And the reality is, for you, it's kind of a camouflage, right? Because if I can be the life of the party, then if somebody says something critical or hurtful about me, it's not really me. It's just this presentation of me. And why would they say anything anyway about me anyway? Because I'm the life of the party. Everybody loves me. Another way we deal with insecurity is that we hide. There's those of us who hide. And when you feel insecure, what do? You make yourself small. You go find a corner of the room and you if nobody sees me, if nobody notices, if nobody sees this blank in my life, if nobody sees how I am not good enough, then maybe it won't be real. And so if I just stay really small and I stay really quiet and nobody talks to me, then nobody will see it and then I'll just be okay. Some of us are the opposite. There's some of us who overcompensate with our insecurity. What we do is we come across as really confident. We come across as cocky and arrogant sometimes. We come across like we know everything, that we're the best. You know, we're critical of other things because, hey, I'm compensating for an insecurity. If I look confident, if I look like I've got it all together, then no one would ever see the fact that I've got a blank in my life that needs to be filled. And then there's some of us who try to deal with those blank spaces in our lives by self-destructing. And, it's this, I'm damaged. And if I'm damaged, if I'm broken, and if I'm weak, then I'm just going to try to fill in this blank with whatever's going to make me feel good. Because I can't fill it with whatever's missing. And so if I'm just going to try to just feel good, you know, I'm going to fill that blank with alcohol, with pills. I'm going to fill it with, you know, unhealthy sexual relationships. I'm going to fill it with pornography. I'm going to fill this blank with whatever. I'm going to fill it with cutting. I'm going to fill it with whatever I can possibly find to just make me feel something. Because if I feel something in a moment, it'll distract me from the fact that I am not good enough, or that I'm not pretty enough, or that I'm not talented enough. And so people who use self-destructive behaviors to deal with their insecurity, they just push it aside and hide it. And if I can just feel something in a moment, I don't have to feel this crushing insecurity. And the problem with all these ways that we deal with insecurities is none of them really work. I mean, they might work in the short term, they might work in the moment, but none of them are really an effective way to get into our lives and get rid of that blank. But what if there was a way to really fill in that blank? What if there is a way to never feel it again? What if there is a way to deal with our crushing insecurities in such a way that they never came back, and in such a way that we could live life without the broken relationships and the broken spirit that insecurity causes in our lives? What if there is a way to stop being not blank enough? And so that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to take a look at the life of a guy named Moses. And we're going to pick up the life of Moses in an interesting time in the history of the people of Israel. Now, the Israelites at this point, they are slaves in Egypt. They've multiplied. They've lived in Egypt for years and years and years. And at first, they were good citizens. They lived in Egypt. The Egyptians were good with them living there. But as the Israelites begin to multiply and grow, the Egyptians begin to get a little worried because there was a lot more Israelites than there were Egyptians. And they were afraid that the Israelites were going to be able to take over their nation. And so what the Egyptians did is they enslaved the Israelites. And Exodus tells us this, the book of the Bible that we're going to be looking at today, it tells us that the Egyptians decided to put huge, heavy burdens on their Israelite slaves just to crush them and to break them down, just as an effort at population control. They went so far that the king of Egypt actually had a decree put out that every newborn, that just as a one-time deal, every newborn baby boy who's an Israelite needs to just be killed. And he sent his soldiers out to kill every newborn baby boy that there was in Egypt who was an Israelite, because they were so scared of the Israelites taking over. And so the Israelites, I mean, they are just in bondage. They are in slavery in Egypt. But God has a plan. God has a plan to rescue them and to save them. And we're going to find God talking to Moses. God appears. This is the burning bush moment, right? You ever heard that story? God appears to Moses in a burning bush. Moses just walking through the desert, and all of a sudden it's like, this bush just catches on fire, but it's not consumed by fire. It's just like, you know, it's like a laser light show. It's like a rave. But Moses probably couldn't describe a rave, so he's like, this bush is just burning. And so God appears and he speaks to Moses. And this is what God says when he appears to Moses out of that burning bush. He says, look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I've seen how harshly the Egyptians abuse them. Now go, for I'm sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people out of Egypt. So here's Moses, right? And at this point, Moses is just a shepherd. He's just living in the desert, in the wilderness, not in the city. He's just taking care of sheep. God appears to him and he says, listen, I've got a massive undertaking for you. I've got a job that needs taking care of. I need you to go and rescue my people from Egypt. I need you to go and lead them out. So God is calling Moses to this massive, huge undertaking. And this is what Moses said in Exodus 3:11. He says a couple of things, and we're just going to bounce through a lot of them. But Moses protested to God, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? Moses responds the way that many of us would, right? Moses responds by trying to fill in the blanks the way that he normally would. Moses, he looks at God and he's like, God, he's like, why would you ask me to do this? I'm not well known enough. Listen, why would they listen to a word that I have to say? I'm a nobody. Nobody knows who I am. I'm going to show up there and they're like, who is this dude walking in here telling us that we need to let these people go? I'm not popular enough. There's nothing special about me that would make anybody take notice. I'm just I'm a nobody. Nobody cares who I am. Nobody cares what I have to say. So Moses starts right out of the gate saying, God, I know you want me to do this big, incredible thing. But what does he do? His insecurities jump up and he fills in the blank and he says, God, nobody knows me. I'm not well known enough. This will never work. God pushes him and pushes him. And this is what Moses says again in Exodus 4:1. After God pushes him, but Moses protested again. What if they won't believe me or listen to me? What if they say the Lord never appeared to you? So again, Moses is taking, I'm not blank enough. And here's what he's saying, God, I'm not credible enough. I'm not credible enough for anyone to listen to what I have to say. Now, here's the thing about what Moses is saying to God. It's a little backstory for Moses. Now, Moses, he was one of those babies that was supposed to be killed so that the Israelites wouldn't take over and overpopulate the land. But Moses' mom pushed Moses into a river in a basket to try and save him. Which, I mean, she's like, maybe the crocodiles will get him, maybe not. God, this is like your deal, you know, whatever. And Pharaoh's daughter, the princess of Egypt, finds this baby. She knows it must be one of the Israelite babies. And so she takes him in and for her, it's like a puppy. She thinks he's cute. So she takes him in and she raises Moses like her own son. So Moses has been raised in Pharaoh's palace. He's an Israelite. Everybody knows he's an Israelite, but he's been raised in the palace of Pharaoh. He's been raised as a prince. He's been raised as royalty. But one time when Moses was a young adult, he saw some Israelites being abused by an Egyptian. There were some Israelite slaves and they were working, and there is an Egyptian guard, and he was just beating an Israelite, just whipping him and beating him. And Moses saw this. And here's the thing, Moses is an Israelite. He was raised in the palace, but he sees his people suffering. He sees the Israelites hurting, and he's like, you know what? I've had enough. And so Moses goes down, and he attacks this guy, and he kills this Egyptian. He murders him. He looks around. He doesn't see anybody around that saw what he did. And so he buries this Egyptian guy that he murdered under the sand to try to cover it up and hope that he could get away with it. Well, the next day he comes back out, and apparently it's the talk of the slaves that Moses killed an Egyptian soldier. Moses knows this and he hears about it and he's like, I've got to get out of here. So Moses runs because he doesn't want to get caught, which was smart because it turns out Pharaoh actually found out that Moses had killed an Egyptian and decreed that Moses had to die too. So Moses, he's a felon on the run. Moses is a murderer. Okay, he's a guy who killed someone in anger, tried to cover up his crime, and Moses is a fugitive living in the backside of the Egyptian desert. And so when God says, Moses, I want you to go back into Egypt, and I want you to lead my people out, I want you to rescue them, Moses is like, well, God, you don't know my past. I mean, I've got a messed up history. I've done things, God, that disqualify me for the work that you want me to do. God, I'm not credible. People are going to look at me and they're going to go, this dude's a murderer. God, why would they listen to me when they know I've got a past, when they know I made mistakes, when they know that I've done things that have caused damage and hurt? There's no way anyone would listen to me because I'm not credible enough and my past disqualifies me. God pushes Moses again. He's like, Moses, you need to do this. You need to do this. And finally, in Exodus 4:10, this is what Moses said. Moses pleaded with the Lord. This is like Moses at first. It's like Moses is protesting, right? Moses protested to God. God, nobody knows who I am. Nobody cares. Okay, God, here's the thing. I got a past. I mean, I'm not really credible. No one's going to really believe me when I say that I heard from God because I'm a murderer. And now it's like Moses is done protesting. Now he's begging, okay? He's begging and pleading with God. Lord, I'm not very good with words. I never have been, and I'm not now. And even though you've spoken to me right now, I'm not good with words. I get tongue-tied, and my words get tangled. God, I'm not good enough. I'm not well-known enough. I'm not credible enough. And God, I'm not good enough to do what you're asking me to do. I don't have the talent to pull this off. I don't have the charisma to pull this off. God, what you're asking me to do, I can't do because I am not good enough. I can't do it. Moses is begging God. He's like, God, don't do this, because Moses' insecurities are so real to him. His definition of who he is, his identity is so wrapped up in his weaknesses that when he looks at himself in comparison with what God is asking him to do, he's like, God, this is impossible. There's no way. And that's what insecurity does, I think. Insecurity does a great job of highlighting our weaknesses and isolating us from the truth. Insecurity rises up in our lives and it just shines a spotlight on all the areas of weakness in our lives. All the things that we're not good at, all the things that we stink at. Insecurity just spotlights those things and it brings them to the forefront and it isolates us from the truth of who we are in God. And it isolates us from the truth of what it is that God has for us and what he wants to do in our lives. And check this out. This is what happens. This is how God responds to Moses' insecurity. Exodus 4:11. Then the Lord asked Moses, "Who makes a person's mouth? You tell me that you get tongue-tied and you stutter and you have a difficult time speaking, but who made your mouth? Who decides whether people speak or do not speak, hear or do not hear, see or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you in what to say." God is just like Moses. He says, "Listen, you're telling me all this stuff, all of your weaknesses, you're showing them to me. You're spitting them back in my face. I'm not good at this. I can't do this. I can't talk. I'm not good enough. Nobody knows me." God's like, "Do you think I don't know that? Do you think I don't know those things about you? Do you think I don't know about your limitations? Do you think I don't know that you have a stuttering problem and you can't speak? Do you think that I didn't allow that limitation to happen in your life?" Okay, now it's like, wait a minute. Okay. Now, if we talk about insecurities, I think that a lot of us, like, I'm willing to talk about insecurities, but like here's the message I want to hear about insecurities. Here's the punchline in a message about insecurity that I want to hear from me when I'm ever speaking, right? And that's this. It's that insecurities are just bad things that happen to us, and God wants to wipe them out because they're not part of his plan. That's what I want to hear, right? Insecurities were never meant to be there. Those weaknesses were never meant to be in us to begin with. Those issues in our lives that hold us back, that make us feel like we're not blank enough, those things were never meant to be part of us. And yet, God's saying here, "Moses, do you not think that I know that you have a stuttering problem? Did I not make you? Did I not design your mouth? Did I not make your vocal cords? Did I not give you the ability to speak or not to speak?" And then there's some force in what God says here. God says, "Now go!" Exclamation point. God's like, "Moses, I don't want to hear any more of this. I don't want to hear any more of you talking about your insecurities, about your weaknesses. It's time for you to get up and go." And here's the thing. This is important for us to hear and respond to. This is the nugget of truth in this message. This is the one thing that we need to get when we walk out of here, and that's this. As it relates to our insecurities, your blanks are God's opportunities. Your blanks, your weaknesses, your thing that you're not good enough at, your thing that you will not, that you don't think you'll ever be good at enough in your life, your blank is God's opportunity. And when God looks at you, what you see as a fatal flaw or fatal error, God sees as something that he perfectly designed and placed in you for a specific purpose. Let me explain this. So Moses was weak, right? He's a nobody. He's not credible. Moses has a past, right? He has a past that he feels like disqualifies him from everything that God wants him to do. He's not good enough. He's not talented enough or sharp enough. But he didn't need to be any of those things. Right? Because God didn't search out the most talented, best leader in the world. I mean, like, God didn't go find Gaston from Beauty and the Beast, you know, to take his LeFou's brew and just go like kick some butt. That wasn't God's plan and purpose. What God did is God went out, specifically chose Moses, who's not good enough. He's not credible enough. He's got a past. He's got a history. God picked him for the job. God chose him. Moses didn't need to be any of those things. Why? Because God loved him and God wanted to be close to him. God loved him and God wanted to be close to him. Look at the end of Exodus 4:12. Go back to that verse, guys, really quick. God says this to Moses. He says, "I will be with you as you speak and I will instruct you in what to say. I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you in what to say." You see, God wasn't surprised by Moses' weaknesses and insecurities when he chose him. In fact, that's why he chose Moses. It's the very reason he chose Moses. You see, the things that you are insecure about in your life, the things that hold you back, your weaknesses, your blanks, they're part of God's design for your life. God loves those things. That thing that you thought of, that you filled the blank with at the beginning of this message, you know, you're not blank enough, I'm not blank enough. That thing that you hate, dude, God loves it. He stinking loves it. And do you want to know why he loves it? Because that thing, when leveraged by God in his hands, when he steps into your life, into that area of your blank, and he moves, here's what happens. God gets close to you. And here's the thing. We see in Moses' life, right? Moses, we know Moses went to Egypt, and Moses, you know, held up the staff and said, Pharaoh, let my people go. And then, you know, thousands of years later, people made movies about it. Okay, we know that all those things happened, and it was awesome. We know that the people of Israel were freed, and they crossed the Red Sea, and these amazing, miraculous things happened. And that was all awesome. But you know what? You know what God's biggest opportunity was in that moment in working through Moses' weaknesses and insecurities? It wasn't just the victory that he brought. It was this. It was that he got to bring Moses closer to him. He got to look at Moses and say, there's your weaknesses. Let me in. And as a result of that, he got to bring Moses closer. And because of that, Moses knew God more. Moses was closer to God. Moses got to experience God's love, his power, his blessing more and more in his life. Your weaknesses and your insecurities, you know why God loves them? Because God loves you, and God wants you to be close to him. Guess what? God will do amazing things in your insecurity and in your weakness. In fact, the scripture tells us that God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. That when he gets into our areas of weakness, when God fills in our blanks, that his power, that's when it's just perfected. That's when it's the best of the best. That's going to happen when you invite God into your weaknesses and insecurities. But more than that is this. You get to know and experience God's love in the way that he meant and intended for you to do it. Your weaknesses, your flaws, your past, your insecurities, they're opportunities for God to do something in your life. And it has the benefit of bringing you closer to him. Your weaknesses have the benefit of allowing God to draw you into his presence, to transform and to change your life. And God wants you to know this. God wants you to know that he loves you, that he designed you exactly the way that you are. What you see in the mirror and that you hate, God looks at and he loves it. He thinks it's amazing. He thinks you're special and perfect exactly the way he designed you. And you know what? I'm not sitting here looking you in the face and trying to say, hey, you know what? It's not a weakness. You don't have any flaws, because that's not true. We all do. The things that we're insecure about, probably, there's some truth to that. But guess what? God loves the fact that those things are true, because it creates an opportunity for him to move in a powerful way in our lives, because he loves you and he wants you to know and experience how much he loves you. So I'm going to close with this. And there's a couple ways that I think people who are dealing with insecurities, which the reality is it's all of us, may need to hear. Two approaches. And before I do that, I'll just even tell you. I'm talking to you not just as like the lead pastor of Compass. I'm talking to you as like the lead insecure person of Compass. Okay? All of the things that God talks about with Moses here, like, that's totally me. What's fun? Okay, this is just a snapshot into my mind. So as I'm preaching, I also think about things. That's why sometimes I say really stupid things when I'm speaking. But even as I'm talking, right, and I'm talking about how Moses, he tells God, he's like, God, I can't speak. And I'm sitting here going, yeah, Moses is saying, God, he can't speak. And I'm like, oh my gosh, dude, will you please stink and get your words straight? You're like, bleh, bleh, bleh. You're like Bugs Bunny up here. Get it? Even as I'm talking to you now, my insecurity is popping up going, dude, how many times have you said like in this message? Okay, can you get your words straight? What are you doing? I have insecurities just like you do. I look at myself and I'm like, dude, you are not good enough to grow this church. What qualifies you to talk to people about the Bible? You're just a Who are you? And look, I know I say this because I want you to know that, like, we are all in this together. There's no one in here who's so perfect that they get to stand up and say, I want to talk to you about your insecurities and your weaknesses. Since I have none, it's easy for me to speak to you about. I mean, let's be real. If we're going to believe and we're going to confess and we're going to admit that God allows insecurities to be hard baked into our lives, which scripture tells us he does, then we need to believe that all of us share those same insecurities in different ways and in different aspects. And we need to believe that God has a plan and a purpose for those things. And I can tell you, as someone who struggled with insecurities of all different kinds, I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in other people's lives. When you give that to God, when you allow God to just kick your blank and just let you see him kick at your blank. when you do that, God doesn't make your weaknesses go away. He just shows you that he's enough, that he's sufficient to move through them and to move in them. And man, when he shows me that I can trust him in my weaknesses, and that even though I am totally not good enough to be the lead pastor of Compass Church, God says, you know what? That's okay, because I can come in and my strength can be made perfect in your weakness. And when that happens, not only can God move in a powerful way in my life, in the people around me, but God says, hey, you can come a little closer to me now. You can experience my love, my presence, my grace a little bit more now, because I'm here with you. So there's two groups of people in this room who deal with insecurities. And you need to hear, I mean, there's two things that you need to hear. And the first group, you need to hear the now go message. Okay, you need a little bit of an explanation point when God's talking to you about your insecurity. Okay, so listen, if you're in the room and you need a gentle touch as it relates to your insecurities, you can just assume that I'm talking to someone else. But the reality is this. Your insecurity, when you think about it, when you allow it, here's what you're really doing. You're telling God, God, you got it wrong. God, you messed up on me. You screwed up when you made me, because I've got weaknesses and you did a bad job on me. You got it wrong. And your insecurity, the way you hold on to it, the way you feed it, it's not humility. It's not humble to be insecure and say, oh, you know what? I'm just not good enough at that. That's not humility. You know what it is? Your insecurity is selfishness. Your insecurity is selfishness, because what you're doing is you're allowing your insecurity to make you the center of your world. And rather than putting God at the center of the throne of your life, you're taking your own weaknesses, your own failings, your own flaws, your own insecurities, and you're setting those things up. And instead of God being able to guide your steps, instead of God being able to speak into your life and say, this is what I want for you, this is the path I want you to walk, you're allowing your insecurities to dictate how you live, how you act, and what you're willing to do. And I'll tell you, an insecure life is a selfish life. If you're serving at Compass and you're in ministry and you're like, you know what? I know I should do this, but I just don't think I'm good enough to get involved in the media team. I don't think I'm good enough to try out for the band. I don't think I'm good enough to really greet people at the door. You know, my story of what God's done in my life isn't good enough for me to tell other people about Jesus. And, you know, I'll get all fumble mouthed anyway if I try to talk about Jesus, and I just don't really know what to say. So I'll just tell people to talk to Chris and maybe he can help them, because I'm just not good enough. Guess what? Insecure ministry is selfish ministry, because it's ministry about you, not ministry about God. And not ministry about the people who God wants to reach through you. Now, I know this, that when I give that hard message, there's no one in the room who needs to hear that one. Everyone needs the soft, gentle one. But I'll tell you this. God's saying, now go, get up, get out of the pity party, stop being insecure, and trust and believe that I am who I said I am and that you are who I said you are. Get up and go. That's what God's saying to some people in the room. Now, there's other people in the room who that tough, hard message is not necessarily what you need to hear in order to deal with your insecurities. And both of these things are true. But what you need to hear is this, is that God's saying, you can get up. You can go. because I will be with you. You can speak because I'll give you the words. You can take a step because I'm going to shine a light on your path. You think you're not good enough? Well, that's okay. God's saying, I am good enough. And I want to be at work in your life. I want to fill you with my spirit. I want to fill you with my presence. You think you're not good enough? That's okay. Because where you see not blank enough, where you see a blank, God sees an opportunity to bring freedom. He sees an opportunity to bring freedom to your life, to free you from the insecurities that are tied to the areas of your life where you don't feel good enough. And it's an opportunity for God to bring freedom in the lives of the people who you have influence over. God's saying to you, listen, you see a nobody, but I see a Moses. I see a person who can set millions of people free if they're just willing to say, okay, maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe I'm not popular enough, well-known enough. Maybe I'm not credible. Maybe I got a past that I'm scared of people knowing about and that I think maybe disqualifies me from what God wants you to do. Maybe I've got all those things, but you know what, God? Okay. And when you do that, God doesn't bring freedom to your life. He brings it to the lives of the people you have influence over, your kids, your husband, your wife, the people you work with, the people you go to school with. God wants to deal with your insecurities. Your weaknesses are not weaknesses. They're your greatest strength because your blanks are God's opportunity to do something great and amazing in your life. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for what you're speaking to us today, and thank you for your word. And Lord, I'm just going to pray for the room, and I'm going to pray this, God. I confess, as a person who deals with insecurities, as a person who doesn't feel good enough, doesn't feel smart enough, doesn't feel capable enough, doesn't feel organized enough, God, all those things that we all feel at times about ourselves, Lord, it doesn't matter what other people see in us. Sometimes what we see in ourselves is the worst of the worst. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would open our eyes to see ourselves the way that you see us. And that rather than looking at our weaknesses, rather than looking at our blank spaces as something to hold us back, something to keep us from experiencing life in you, that it's simply an opportunity, God, for you to draw us closer to you, that your outcome for our life is for us to know you closely, to walk in a close, intimate relationship with you. And I pray, Jesus, that coming to you with all of our weaknesses held up in open hands, God, would have the effect of allowing us to know you in power, in truth, and in love. God, I pray for every single person who has insecurities in this room right now, Jesus. I pray that the overwhelming sense of your love and your acceptance would fill their hearts, that God, we are good enough because you say we are, that we are good enough because you complete us, because in you we find our wholeness. God, of course we wouldn't be good enough on our own. We were never designed to be good enough on our own. We were designed to only be good enough when you fill us, when you are close with us. And so, Lord, today we commit ourselves to closeness with you, and we pray, God, that you would shore up those areas of insecurity in our lives, and that you would help us to boldly and courageously go forward in you. Help us to walk in courage and strength, and help us, Lord, to always remember, Jesus, that our blanks are your opportunities. We pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us at Compass. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you have any questions about Compass or this message, contact us at our website, www.compassbn.com.